Today, we're going to visit with a very accomplished banjo player from up northeast around the Maine area, Ron Cody. Ron Cody has a brand new album out entitled The Cooper Sessions. We're going to get into the name of that and the tunes that he has on it. I'll tell you that Ron Cody was a very good friend and mentored and taught by Bill Keith. So you'll get a little bit of that connection as we talk. I will also tell you that, like the Alan Lomax Field recordings, this was done in a field up at Gray Fox Bluegrass Festival, where I come and do some work with the festival, and you get the benefit of that. Bill, this is a bona fide field recording, Alan Lomax fans. You're going to hear a little bit of wind. Just pretend that it's... And I didn't want to cut it out because it would affect the content of the conversation with Ron as to what he learned from Bill and his brand new album, The Cooper Sessions. So just pretend that you're in the pines and the pines and the whispering pines, and you'll hear from Ron Cody right now. Thanks for tuning in. Ron Cody's a fine, fine player, and he's ready to be heard by a much bigger audience. And this is Ron Cody.
This is Ron Cody, and you're listening to Unreal Bluegrass.
All right, I'm really happy to be... chatting with someone who's become a friend of mine through circumstances we'll talk about. Ron Cody, how are you?
I'm doing great, Steve. This is so much fun. Thank you.
It's a blast. The initial reason I'm talking to Ron is a brand new album that I listened to on site at Gray Fox, taking advantage of the CD player in my car and an electric razor at the same time. The Cooper Sessions. This is the list of stars on this, in addition to Ron, is breathtaking. The album, I know why it's called The Cooper Sessions, but there are so many great tunes on here, Ron, I don't know where to start. And I listened this morning a couple times over on certain cuts, and first let me say congratulations.
Oh, thank you so much. It's a really fun project, and it's great to pull it to completion this spring.
You spent, I'm always curious about how long projects like this come together, over what period of time?
It took about 2 years to do this, to put it together, arrange it, of course, with all the different fiddle players that we wanted to have on this record, gathering them together as they came into primarily Portland, Maine, where we recorded. We would do sessions when they came to town.
And the CD is full of fiddle players.
It is. The record...
There's a reason for that. Explain that a little bit.
Sure. It's kind of a concept record where, as a banjo player... I was aware of certain banjo companies like Stelling and Huber that have done records of players playing their instruments. And I thought, well, wouldn't it be cool for there to be a fiddle record that was produced by a banjo player, you know?
Sure.
So, and John Cooper, of course, highly renowned for his fantastic fiddle making, violin making. And being that he's a good friend and lives in Portland, Maine, it was a wonderful opportunity to collaborate with him. So I got this idea and ran it by him, and we worked together to draw these musicians together and kind of arrange it as a fiddle record. But as Daryl says in the liner notes, it's he said something like it at. Finally, it's a banjo record.
And you're talking about Daryl Anger, who wrote the liner notes, which are brilliant.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Daryl's as an individual and his musicianship. But I love the way he thinks and talks and writes. He's always got a smile on his face when he's. I can imagine him smiling when he wrote the liner notes for this. And Daryl plays on the album.
He does. He's actually on two cuts. It was a real treat to work with him again.
Mm-hmm. Talk about some of the fiddle players that you have on here, and why maybe if you can recall. And we're doing this in a field.
We're sitting in a field.
If you can recall why they were chosen for certain records, certain tunes on the record, or whether it was just a good opportunity to do it, or how you figured that out.
Well, some of the players selected their own music to do. For instance, Daryl wanted to do a rare tune by Tommy Jarrell. Tommy Jarrell's Bonaparte, which he had learned from Bruce Molsky, and Bruce Molsky actually learned it from Tommy Jarrell, an old fiddle player. And, in fact, Brittany Haas recorded it almost note for note the way Tommy Jarrell played it. But Daryl arranged a very interesting way of playing the tune and a beautiful arrangement. And so he brought that to the record. And for his session, Jesse Brock plays mandolin. And I wanted to do a tune I wrote called Stompin' Time.
That's a great tune.
And I wanted to end with Jesse on mandolin, which was a first for Daryl to be recording with Jesse Brock.
And oddly enough,
Jesse stomps all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, he's got, what is it, not stomp, kicking grass?
Yes,
right.
Right.
Kicking grass. Or stomping time.
Time.
Right, exactly.
So.
Yeah. And Jesse, you know, is such a good friend of mine, and fortunately, such a wonderful thing to know him. And he was involved on more than just Daryl's stuff, you know.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So, and then this Mike Barnett plays on a tune with Roland White. And in fact, when we were putting that session together, Mike was so nice to back down and ask. We asked Roland what he wanted to do, and we selected a tune that Roland had never recorded, but he had learned it directly from Paul Warren on the back of the Lester Flatbus. From, you know, in between
and
gigs.
Just for people listening, Paul Warren is
was Flat and Scruggs' fiddle player,
yeah,
that then played with Lester Flatt,
yeah,
with Roland White.
Yes, yes.
So, and anyway,
I think if you got Roland White on an album, you need to defer to him on something.
Yeah.
So that's fine.
That was
a no-brainer.
It was a no-brainer, and what a great chance that we recorded the new 5 cents, and I used detuners for that,
yeah,
interestingly,
yeah.
And yeah.
We'll get back to detuners in a minute. The rest of the, you have, what, I forget how many compositions are Ron Cody originals on, because you do so many great, you do great traditional stuff. I consider Crazy Creek to be traditional, mm-hmm, although it does have an author. It's not traditional in the sense that it's public domain, but
mm-hmm,
Cattle and the Cane. But there are compositions on here, Backstreet
Stompin'
Time.
Those two are the original.
Yeah,
ones, yeah.
They're great tunes. Stompin' Time, you were talking a little bit about, and I kind of cut you off because I wanted to talk about Jesse Brock being a stomper guy. But talk about that tune a little bit.
Just kind of a high-powered bluegrass banjo,
yeah,
tune
really
I wrote.
Is,
yeah, that, yeah, I heard, and I just thought it would be perfect for Daryl and Jesse's amazing sense of time. You know, it was an easy record, I'll tell you, with those guys. Fast tune, you,
yes,
know, and I think it came out great.
The album I get to feel is, and I've got Michael Barnett recordings, or at least one that he sent me a year or so ago. There is a real strong melodic sense to most of this, is there not?
Yes,
yeah.
And of course, I consider myself primarily a melodic player, heavily,
right,
influenced by Bill Keith, and who was a very close friend of ours. And so, in fact, the record is dedicated to him and Mike Kropp, who we sadly lost last year.
Yes.
And Mike was also a mentor of mine. But so melodicism has been a big part of my life on the banjo, in playing not only fiddle tunes and bluegrass tunes, but also jazz tunes. And so a lot of those concepts, Keith concepts, and concepts I've developed on my own and from hearing Bill and Bela and great players like Pat Cloud, you know, I just wanted to put things, a statement down.
The we've talked about tuners. We know those are Bill Keith tuners. We've mentioned a little bit about Bill Keith, and I told you before we started that you have a Rodgers Hart tune on here, which I think is appropriate, because I think Bill Keith would look in different areas to pull in tunes that become Bill, banjo tunes. I think that, yeah, it's not necessarily a jazz standard, but it's a tune you wouldn't hear in this sense. And when I listen to that song, that tune, there's no vocal in it. I hear you playing inspired by Bill,
yeah,
and I also hear your selection process inspired by Bill. Am I just making that up because I know the both of you?
No, he was a huge mentor, and the idea of playing chord voice leading,
yes,
in the melody. I had done a record a couple years ago called Sprung of Spring, where I did a bunch of old jazz tunes using that technique. But I wanted this to be primarily a bluegrass record, and I was thinking, well, how can I do a swing tune with Alex Hargraves, who was such an amazing swing player. How can I do a swing tune and have it sound like bluegrass? And so I kind of just worked on it, keeping it as I was rolling through the whole thing.
Yeah,
to keep,
yeah,
it.
That's right. Yeah,
yeah.
And that's This Can't Be Love, that's a Rodgers Hart tune, which you don't hear in many bluegrass albums.
Right, exactly.
So that's why I think Bill has helped you out, reach out and look at things and hear things, and which is what mentors do, and the whole album is just, I absolutely love this. And I've known you since I've started coming here, which has not been that long, maybe 4 years. And I've seen you sit with Bill and still learn, as Bill is always teaching and mentoring in a way that was very, very good to people who want, people were intimidated by Bill, which was a silly, once you met him. There were people, I know people out in this that would not come down because they were afraid to meet him. I thought, mm-hmm. well, come on. Mm-hmm. But you sat with Bill even here, and I'm talking about being at Grey Fox, and were learning from him. And maybe not always learning note choices, but you were learning
theory,
approach and theory,
yeah.
and attitude.
Or attitude.
Yeah.
Attitude is such a great way to put it.
Yeah.
It's because it really is.
It's, yeah.
you know, I'm one, it is. It's about having the right attitude.
Uh-huh. He had, and I listened to Bill, some of Bill's playing, all of it is amazing, but you have, I think, and I'll give you this, you don't have to say yes or agree or not. Bill's playing had a very complex grace to it. And I hear that in your playing now.
Thank you.
I hear that. I know there's a lot more going on mentally. I, as a banjo player, pedestrian style, I appreciate the physical nature of what you're doing, but I also think that the choices that you're making and this complex grace, as I would call it, you've really just taken that in.
Well, you know, there are a couple of concepts that Bill really, really influenced me with. And one, of course, was his foundational emphasis of harmony in music. Now, there's a lot more than 1, 3, and 5, and laying down a more listenable harmonic structure with the bass and the guitar playing more foundational harmony is prettier. It's kind of like the right hand of a piano.
That's right.
And so, so I learned that from him, and always searching for the way to voice things in that happy, beautiful way that a banjo can sound. And then he introduced the concept to me that he used a word called distribution. And I wanted it, the last several years I was thinking, I got to make him a t-shirt because we used to trade t-shirts. I wanted to have a t-shirt with notes emphasizing the distribution of notes. Because one time I was playing a Scruggs tune, and this was early on, and he said, no, it's not that, you know, you have to distribute the notes more accurately. And
you actually talked like Bill when you did that.
Right.
I know what you were doing.
Yeah.
But the people that don't haven't thought that yet.
He'd stop and he'd just, yes. if he didn't hear anything, he didn't like, right. you know, like you're slightly out of tune or something.
That's right.
Lack you right
That's
there.
Right. That's
so
right.
anyway, distribution of notes is really a concept that I think he got from tabbing out Earl Scruggs during the Amherst college years.
Yeah.
And, so he learned that Scruggs never repeated as he was alternating fingers with three finger style. He alternated in a way that got the most harmony out of three finger banjo style. And so what makes Scruggs' style sound as full as it is and so complete is the concept of distribution.
Whether notes. Earl knew it or
like,
not.
He knew it. But he just
he
had
didn't express it that
he
way.
Just had he knew that it sounded right,
right.
you know. And Bill understood that, I think, better than anybody, than Scruggs. And because I always heard him distribute notes in his playing, whether he was playing, you know, Earl's Breakdown or if he was playing, you know, Jordu. You know, he didn't repeat the same notes in a pattern-wise. It was more thinking when you're playing melody to play harmony with the melody, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I'm talking to Ron Cody. We're talking about Bill Keith because it's important because of his influences on you in the new Cooper Sessions, which is this out? Is this available now?
It is. It's on.
You delivered mine, but I don't expect everyone to come and get one. So can they get their hands on
it? You
this?
Can download it very easily
okay.
From CD Baby or iTunes. It's basically everywhere right now.
Okay.
And you can order it from me on the website, or you can order it through CD Baby.
Okay. I'm really proud of you for doing this.
Thank you.
And I know I'm going to talk about Bill for a minute. I know you finished this in the process of in the last year's time.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that, yesterday here at Grey Fox, you were participated in a session to talk about Bill's influence in his playing, and you were there with several great players, all of which we know, Mark Horwitz, Ira Gitlin, and other people with you playing. But I know watching you do that, this is a difficult time for a lot of people because this is the first time we've been here without Bill.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate the fact that you continue with this effort and did that session yesterday.
Thank you.
And that you're talking with me now about genius, absolutely, but he also was a nice person who was a teacher
mm-hmm.
and an instructor and always wanted to impart and have other people enjoy learning and help them learn correctly. Mm-hmm. Am I describing that incorrectly, or do you think
you're describing it correctly? Okay. You know, and when Bill passed, Claire sent out an email to some of his banjo friends, and that included Bela. And Bela's first response to us, it was the day after he died, was, "I've lived my whole life with Bill, and now it's hard to believe him not being there."
Yeah.
And I think that's where we're at.
That's right. You know what, though? He would be very happy that his influence continues with Ron Cody. And I think you take that to heart, and I think that you feel an obligation to continue your spreading music with other people. This is what I see from you around, that you're instructive and you're helping people understand. I'm not saying that wouldn't be part of Ron's nature, but it's more of your nature because Bill had that hand on you.
Yeah.
Is that a fair statement?
Absolutely.
You know, now, you're getting ready. I'm going to let you go here in a minute because you're going to
Gather Rounders.
Tell me about the Gather Rounders real quick.
Well, the Gather Rounders is a real exciting project that I'm in. Great band. We're fronted by Caroline Cotter as a lead singer. And my wife Wendy's on bass.
And Wendy's on this album. I didn't mean to leave her off, but Wendy's on the Cooper
section. Yeah, yeah, playing on every track other mm-hmm. than a track that doesn't have
that's
bass.
That's right, there's a banjo fiddle tune.
Yeah, and then also Bruce Molsky's
that's work, right.
which is just guitar, mandolin,
that's
banjo,
right.
and fiddle.
That's right.
And voice. Bruce has the only vocal statement.
Yes, he does.
The Gather Rounders, Caroline Cotter and Wendy Cody. And Lincoln Myers on guitar, and Eric Lee on fiddle, and myself on banjo. Mm-hmm. Playing a lot of original material, and we have some YouTube videos out, which actually were recorded with Jesse Brock, and just came out with an EP of five tunes.
Okay.
You know, and going to be going to Europe this fall.
Oh, nice.
Doing some neat stuff.
I've had the benefit of sitting outside in the dark and listening to you guys. Most of you with other people kind of do some stuff. And I know you're going to do a practice session now because you're going to play here later.
Yeah.
Right? That's great. I can't wait to see that.
Thank you.
This has been fun. Thanks, Ron, for coming by. And I really appreciate your love of the music. And I really think the Cooper Sessions, to me, is just an absolute masterpiece.
No, thank you so much, Dave.
That was Ron Cody. I thought it was important to recognize that Ron is now searching, as Bill Keith would do, other music forms to bring him into the banjo and the banjo fiddle concept, and just did a wonderful job. Thanks so much, Ron Cody. Thanks to my friends at Gray Fox Bluegrass Festival, who ask me every year to come up and do stuff, and I'm happy to do it, and this year I got to kind of roam around and catch people like Ron Cody, who I knew, but I also knew he had a new CD, and I knew that you needed to be exposed to Ron's talent and the music from that CD, and well, this worked out very well. A little windy, but you know what? That's reality.